Well, welcome this morning. We want to welcome our guest. We've been doing a series out of the book of Genesis, and if you haven't figured it out by now, we're talking about faith. These are people named in Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame. We won't get to all of them in this series, but that's what I want to focus on in this sermon series is faith. I believe that's what the Lord would have us focus on. Our text this morning will be out of Genesis 22, verses 1 through 19. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Father, I thank you for the word. Your word is truth. Lord, I know that it does not return to you empty, but it accomplishes what you send it out to do. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for being in our midst, because you said where two or three are gathered, you are there with us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray that he will have his way here today, that you will take this to our hearts to encourage us and to make us look within, Lord. I ask your blessing on every person that is here this morning. Anoint me to preach your word. I ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Abraham is quite a remarkable man. If I were asked to sum up his life in one word, that word would be faith. Abraham, the account of Abraham begins in the 12th chapter of Genesis, and it ends with his death in the 25th chapter. Something that really impresses me about the faith of Abraham, it was not passive, but it was active. God told him when he was 75 years old, he said, I want you to leave your comfort zone. I put that in our term. He said, leave your family, leave your hometown, and I want you to go to this land that I'll tell you where you're going, but you don't get a piece of it. You don't get to own it. God said, I'll show you where you're going to go, and I'm going to give it to your descendants. The only piece of ground that Abraham owned in that was a piece that he bought for a family burial plot. So Abraham spent the rest of his days, 100 years in fact, wandering Canaan, living in tents, living like a nomad. But he spent those days in fellowship with God. After he was in Canaan a while, God had promised him a son when he was 75 years old. And it said Abraham believed God, and God counted that to him as righteousness. Him and his nephew had to split because their possessions were too great. And his nephew decided he'd go live in Sodom. The men of Sodom were known for their wickedness, and God's judgment was impending on them, but I don't think Lot realized that, but he went and lived there. And these five kings and their armies came and conquered Sodom and took them all away. And when Abram was told, it said he armed 318 of his trained servants, and he went against five kings and their armies, and he slaughtered them, and he brought back the spoil. That's faith. The Bible doesn't bear it out, but I think Abraham inquired of God and said, shall I go? And God said, you go. And when he came back, the king of Sodom came out and offered him a rich reward. He said, you keep all the spoil, just let me have the people. And Abraham was a man of integrity. He said, I have lifted my hand and swore to God, I won't take a shoelace from you. Now, he did give God a tenth of the spoil, but Abraham said, I don't want anyone saying that you made me rich. I fear today that many of the TV preachers would have accepted the donation and given a receipt and said, this will be a tax write-off for you, and we're going to put this money into the ministry. But Abram had more integrity than that. He said, I don't want anything to do with your money. Now, he wasn't being judgmental. But he was just saying, I'm not interested in anything you have. I went and got my nephew. That's what I care about. But then later, he interceded. When God told him he's going to destroy the place, he prayed. And that's the famous conversation where Abraham started with, if there's 50 righteous, would you spare the city? And God said, yeah. And Abraham talked him all the way down to 10. Well, if you're familiar with the story, there was only one, and that was Lot. And just like God spared Noah when he destroyed the earth, he got Lot out of Sodom. The Bible does say Lot was a righteous man, but he vexed his soul. Lot had no business being in Sodom and Gomorrah. That was his choice, and God in his mercy brought him out. So later on we read that Abraham was talking with God, and almost 25 years had passed since he'd been there. And God said, I'm going to give you and Sarah a son. And it said Abraham laughed. And he said, shall a man 100 years old and a woman 90 have a son? Some today would say, well, that was a lack of faith on Abraham's part. Abraham had lied. Well, he wasn't really lying. He feared for his life when he came into Canaan, and he told Sarah, you tell people you're my sister, which she was. She was his half-sister, so they won't kill me. And then when God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son 25 years after he was in Canaan, Abraham laughed. And some would say, well, that was a weakness of faith. I think God included that into the word because he wanted you and I to understand that he uses ordinary people. Okay? I could imagine if God came to me now and said, I'm going to bless you with a kid, I'd say, yeah. I'd probably say, that's another blessing I don't really want. You know, I've done my time, I raised my kids, I got grandkids, I really don't want any more. And it would seem as though it contradicts what Paul said in Romans. He said when God promised Abraham his children, he did not weaken in his faith. He didn't consider the deadness of his own body, nor the deadness of the womb of his wife, but he was strong in the faith and gave glory to God. And I never saw that statement as Abraham doubting God. Abraham doubted what Abraham could do. And we're in the same boat, aren't we? Sometimes God may put a calling on us, may ask us to do something, and like Abraham, our response would be a little chuckle, or I don't think I'm able to do that. And I want to assure you this morning, God's not asking for your ability, he's asking for your availability. Are you willing? You see. So Abraham's faith didn't waver. He just said, I don't see how you're going to do this. He promised them this son. God waited until it was impossible for them, and he gave them the son, and I think they understood perfectly that Isaac was the son of the promise, that God had given him that son, and they rejoiced. Isaac, in the Hebrew, Yitzhak, means he laughs. And they rejoiced. They were thrilled. And God had told Abraham, I'm going to establish my covenant with Isaac. And in Isaac shall your offspring be called. So Abraham and Sarah probably felt like now we're set. Now we're secure. Now we understand our future. Before we couldn't see how God was going to do this. Now he's done it. And praise God, we know he's going to keep his promises. And then God dropped a bomb. He asked Abraham to do something he has never asked of anyone since that time, or he never will ask. He said to test him. God said, I want you to take your son, your only son whom you love, and take him to a place I'll show you and offer him as a burnt offering. I can't imagine as a father and a grandfather what must have went through Abram's mind. I don't believe he told Sarah because I don't think he'd got out of the house with the kid. But I cannot imagine the turmoil that he went through on the inside. And he probably had a lot of questions, but it's not recorded that he asked any questions. I think Abraham thought, I've been walking by faith all these years, why change now? I don't understand this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey. When Abraham and Isaac and the men went out to the mountain, I believe it was by faith that Abraham said to those two young men, you stay here. The boy and I are going to go worship and we'll be back. The book of Hebrews says that Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. There's some insight into that. You know, how could Abraham do this? According to the writer of Hebrews, according to what the Holy Spirit showed him, Abraham believed God could raise Isaac from the dead. So Abraham, in faith, obeyed. It said he got to the mountain and he erected an altar. An altar was used to worship God. It was a tool or a means of worship. So Abraham piled up these rocks. God told the Jews, when you build an altar, don't put any tools on it. Don't shape the stones because then it's defiled. You just pile up these rocks and you offer this burnt offering. And I think it was faith when Isaac said, Father, where's the lamb? That Abraham said, God will provide a lamb. I don't think he was trying to shine Isaac on. I think Abraham firmly believed in his heart that God was going to do what he ended up doing. And he laid the wood in order. He was fixing to worship God, getting ready to worship God. And he took the most precious, prized possession that he had and bound him and lay him on the wood. Consider that. God didn't ask Abraham for his money. Abraham was a very wealthy man. He would have gladly gave God every penny he had. He didn't ask for his possessions. Abraham would have walked away from everything he had if God had asked him to. God asked him for the dearest thing that he had, his son. This kid they'd waited 25 years for. This kid who would inherit everything they had. This kid in whom they were placing their hopes of the future. And God said, I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. This again is worship. Let that settle in. Think about that a minute. We come here to worship. We sing to worship. We do the Lord's Supper as worship. I bring you a message as part of worship, but it doesn't end here. Worship is something we do 7 days a week. Should do. There's a pseudo-gospel being preached today, and you probably get tired of hearing me harp on this, but I'll harp on it till God calls me home, that says you need to come to Jesus and this is what's in it for you. They treat God like a genie. God will make you healthy, wealthy, wise. You'll never hurt for money. And it's all, when you listen to them, it's all about here's what's in it for you. But the gospel that I believe is a cross-carrying gospel. Jesus told us, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't lay up treasures on the earth. Because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. He said, God feeds the birds, he'll feed you. I was reading that once and I thought, yeah, but Lord, they eat bugs. You know? God doesn't promise you 3 squares a day. Or me. You can tell I haven't missed any meals. But God does promise that he's going to take care of us. That he'll never leave us alone. And if I lose everything I have, I can handle that as long as the Lord's with me. That's how I feel. Jesus asked his men once if they were going to quit following him because he had preached a sermon that made everybody so mad. He went from 5,000 plus followers to 12. How many of you know that's a church split? How many of you know the elders and the deacons would have run up to Jesus and said, you can't preach like that anymore. Look what happened. We lost all these people. Jesus, you got to be a little more seeker friendly. You know, tell them what they want to hear. Jesus isn't worried about numbers. He's worried about souls. He's worried about commitment. Abraham laid everything that was dear to him on that altar and was ready to sacrifice it to God. Now, he believed God would raise Isaac from the dead. But for me, that's the significance of this account. Now, we know the rest of the story. God called Abraham out of heaven and he said, stop. Don't lay a hand on that son, on that boy. God said, now I know you fear me. And God swore an oath to Abraham that he would bless him, and because of his obedience, he would bless the nations through his offspring. Israel, for a long time, and some still do, believe that they were to be the blessing, and they were the offspring. And Paul points out it wasn't many offsprings, and I'm not belittling the Israelites, but Paul said it was through the one offspring, Christ. God said, your offspring, Christ, will possess the gates of his enemies. Your offspring, Christ, will bless all nations. What a promise. And the Bible says, because God could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, that by two immutable things, in which it's impossible for him to lie, and the fact that he swore by himself, that you and I could have a hope who have fled to Jesus Christ for refuge. It don't get any better than that, church. It don't get no better than that. And I know that's not good English, but it just doesn't get any better than that. To know that you and I who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God has said, I swear by myself. Now, I've been asking myself this all week, and I want you to consider this. Is your everything on the altar? Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to pick up your cross. And I've learned through the years that when I have to pick up the cross, I have to lay something down. There are doors, if I can use this metaphor, in our hearts, little rooms that we keep from the Lord. And Jesus in Revelation 3 said, I'm standing at the door knocking. I believe this can be a lifelong process, because I know the closer I get to the Lord, the closer I want to be, but the closer I get, the more wretched I see myself. See, I don't compare myself to other Christians, and I hope you don't either, because you're fallen and I'm fallen, and I'm not going to compare myself to you to see how spiritual I am. I compare myself to Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for me and loves me. I'm not the man I was 39 years ago. I don't plan on being the man I am now 10 years from now in Christ. But when I read this, when I studied this, when I meditated on it, that was the question that stood out to me the most. Have I, like Abraham, laid everything on the altar and said, here's my future, all my hopes, everything I am, everything I hope to be, my whole life, it's yours. The Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves. This isn't a put down. This isn't me trying to make you feel bad. This is just me saying, ask yourself this personally. God, have I laid everything down? Is there something now that God is dealing with your heart about and saying, I want you to lay this on the altar? I want you to sacrifice this. Doesn't say it's easy. As I said, I can't imagine what Abraham was feeling. Sometimes the things we hold on to the hardest, once we let go of them, we ask, why was I even holding on to that? What a God we serve. I think at one point Abraham may have even felt a little hopeless. But look at the end result. We're here this morning because one religious fanatic, if you will, chose to trust God and obey God. And he was not only was he blessed, but you and I are blessed. Jesus Christ laid it all down for us. The Bible said he emptied himself. He became a servant. And he suffered death on the cross for us. God offered the most precious thing he had, his son Jesus Christ, that you and I might be redeemed, that we might be reconciled, that we might have fellowship with God and one another. Dare we hold anything back from a God like that? Think about that. God bless you all.